Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the conclusion of a two-part series kicked off on Father's Day titled The Brightness of God's Glory. If I sound a little different today, it's because I'm away out of town and not in my regular sound studio and using different equipment. Before we get to the conclusion of this Bible-based message, first I want to bless you with some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Let My Words Be Few, the name of this track is Pour My Love on You.
I don't know how to say exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on you. Like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like a water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone.
We're going to go back into our archives for a great message that I delivered years ago in the Sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church. And it has testimony in it from Elder Zach Sandy, who as a young man was struck and killed by lightning. And having him raised back to life again is perhaps one of the greatest gifts that a dad could receive. And his father, Russell Sandy, is a minister in our church still to this day.
But the thing is, there is no limit to God's glory. And that you cannot plumb the depths of His majesty, or of His wisdom, or of His knowledge, or of His power. No matter how much of His glory we have already been privileged to see, we can still with humility say, Lord, can you show me some more of your glory? And how gracious He is not to scold us for that. Amen. In Psalm 24, the psalmist writes, Psalm 24 and verse 7 and 8, the psalmist writes, lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. I want to preach to you tonight, no matter what heartache or circumstance or horrific trial you're going through right now, I come to preach to you tonight, if you will lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your salvation, God can manifest His glory in the midst of your circumstance. God can reveal Himself in the midst of your sickness. God can show Himself strong in the midst of your trial, and God can bring you victory. Amen. We are in an ongoing process of seeing God show Himself strong in every way. I want you to contrast this. In the Old Testament, Moses said, show me thy glory. But in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. That Greek word logos means the plan of God, the intention of God, the blueprint, so to speak, in the mind of God. The Logos is God's plan, our word, our intent. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Or in other words, God's plan was made a man. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You hear me tonight. If you know Jesus Christ, don't you dare say that you have never seen God's glory. Everyone who has experienced the gospel and obeyed it through repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost has seen the glory of God manifested in your life. Amen. And so, look at what Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 40 through 44. The scripture says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Folks, right at that moment, they saw the glory of God. Elder Zach, come out here. Folks, I want you to know, every human being that sees this man walk into their life on any given day when he should have been buried in a grave, you are seeing the glory of God. When you see a miracle of God, you are seeing the glory of God. I want you to hear me. The Bible teaches us we need to be very careful to give God the glory for the things that he deserves glory for. If it's the work of God, we don't need to pretend that it wasn't. Every last person on this earth, that when they hear about this, they don't say the word miracle. They can't bring themselves to say that the hand of God was in it. They are taking glory that is God's and they are taking it away, and that is a travesty. I want you to know we give God the glory for raising this man up.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Folks, I every morning when my feet hit the floor, the only thing that can come out of my mouth is thank you, Jesus. Because it was 6 years ago that I should have been 6 feet under. I should have been in a grave. As a matter of fact, the doctor stood by and they said he's not going to make it. But the day after I got struck by lightning, they came into the waiting room where my family sat, and they said, we don't know how, we don't know why, but he's breathing over top of the breathing machine. And from that moment forward, God performed miracle after miracle, and things began to change, and God continued to show. We serve a God that is alive forevermore, and he deserves the glory for everything that happens in my life. That situation has opened my eyes to the fact that my job is not my job, but it's his job. He's just entrusted me with it. My car is not my car, but it's his car. My money is not my money, but it's his money. My family is not my family, but it's his family. And he's entrusted us. He's blessed us with so many things, and it's our job to give him glory. Let's do that tonight.
If you have... The old timers used to say, I don't know why they said it, but they must have seen something in geese. They said, he doesn't have the sense God gave a goose. Maybe it has to do with the fact that geese are gifted to be able to migrate, and they have this GPS system in their brains. I don't know why the old timers said it, but they say, so he doesn't have the sense God gave a goose. If you have the sense God gave a goose, and you know that that's not just some kind of coincidence that he's not in a grave, but that the hand of God did a miracle. I want to ask you to stand with me and let's give God glory. Time tonight to hear every testimony. Right back there, Sister Norma McLean, instantly, miraculously healed from lupus. There is no cure, yet God cured her. We give God glory. But you hear me tonight, every one of you that has been given the gift of repentance. Repentance is not some work you can stick your chest out and feel how good you are. Look what I did. I repented. The Bible says it is a gift. The scripture says in Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's by his grace that he saved us. Repentance is not some work I can be proud of. It's a gift from God. Every one of you that has been given the gift of repentance and has been given the gift of water baptism in Jesus' name, which those two together bring about remission of sins. And every one of you that has been given the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have a miracle greater than being healed of lupus. You have a miracle greater than being raised from the dead after being struck by lightning. And you need to be giving God glory. God bless you. I want you to understand Jesus said that if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. And that means that when you see those miracles, you have seen the glory of God. Amen. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, He said, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Amen. When God gives us salvation, he has blessed us by revealing his power and his glory. Amen. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, God Almighty said, I am the Lord. And when you see, for instance, if you see in the King James and the Old Testament, when you see that word Lord with a large capital L and a small capital O, small capital R, and small capital D, that means that in the original language was the tetragrammaton I am name for God. This verse, if you translate it that way, is I am the I am. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Somebody thinks there's three gods or two gods. You better read your Bible again. There's only one God, and he said, my glory will I not give to another. Furthermore, in Isaiah 43:11, he said, I am the I am, and beside me there is no Savior. If you recognize Jesus as your Savior, you better recognize him as the I am, or else you're trying to make the I am a liar. I'm telling you, Jesus is not a separate God from the God of the Old Testament. He is the human manifestation of the God of the Old Testament. He is the human manifestation of the I am God revealed as my Savior. Now, in Acts 12 and 23, when that wicked ruler got up and made his speech, and the crowds shouted and gave glory to him, they gave divine glory to him. They said, it's the voice of a God and not the voice of man. Folks, do you realize that every Roman emperor professed himself to be a divine being? That was just their philosophical claim to fame. They shouted at this authority figure and they said, it's the voice of a God and not of man. And right at that moment, he had a choice. He could have spared his life. All he had to say to them was, hey, don't worship me as a God. I'm not God. Let's give glory to God. He chose to not say that. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. Now, folks, as if that wasn't amazing enough, can I point out to you that that wicked ruler had just got done wrongfully executing one of the leaders of the church? Isn't it interesting? The Bible didn't say, and the angel smote him for wrongfully executing the leader of the church. The Bible verse is clear. Now, he was going to answer for that. He was going to answer for that one day, but that's not the reason why he got smote dead right on the spot. He got smote dead right on the spot because he received divine worship and did not deny it and give the glory to God. Folks, do you believe God is serious when he says, my glory will I not give to another? I'm telling you, it is a horrific mistake to give God's glory to anyone but God. And it's also a travesty and a horrific mistake to refuse to give God the glory that is rightfully his. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Ask yourself, why is that? Very often the men he calls and the women he calls, they're not the ones that the world recognizes as having the most qualifications and the greatest pedigree and the ones who are supposedly the wisest and the ones who are supposedly the mightiest and supposedly the most noble. Why is it that he doesn't call those kinds of people? And I'm going to tell you that the answer to that question is in this passage. Verse 27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And you look around and you see men dressed in suits and looking sharp, and you don't realize that when they first came, they didn't have any better sense than to come into church wearing Bermuda shorts. But look what God has done in their life. Oh, let's take time just to give God glory. Oh, God, we give you glory, Lord. We give you praise. We magnify your name. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. And this is something I love about this church and other churches that I've been to. The Lord Jesus told a parable. Let me get a couple of you elders to come. I want you to imagine the elder Zach. I want you to imagine that he's got hair down to his waist, and he's got an old scruffy, scraggly beard with all kind of dirt and stuff crawling around in it, and he's all tattooed up, and he's got track marks on his arms, and he's addicted to all kind of drugs, and he's so stoned out, and he's so wasted on alcohol, and yet he stumbles into the church, and he's feeling something in his heart, He's so embarrassed, he won't even come to the altar. And the Pharisee, elder, I know you're not a Pharisee, but I want to ask you to play the part of a Pharisee. Jesus told this parable. He said the publican comes in, and he said the Pharisee's over here in the parable, and he's sticking his chest out. Oh, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like that stinky character. Look at me, I'm faithful to church, I fast, look how I dress. Aren't I awesome? I thank you, Lord, that I'm so awesome, because I'm just awesome. You know what Jesus said? He said this guy went to his house not justified, not blessed, but this guy who wouldn't even come to the altar, he's too embarrassed to even come to the altar. He's just sitting over here just smiting himself on the chest, and his head's bowed low, and he's just saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. What's the difference? This one is taking glory unto himself. This one is giving glory to God. And Jesus said, this is the one that went down to his house justified and blessed. Now, I wave my magic wand over you. You are now no longer the Pharisee. You know what I love about this church? This lady comes in, this man comes in, and you can tell they don't have it together. And the church doesn't say, oh, I don't want them to sit by me. I'm going to sit over here and thank God for how awesome I am. The church comes in and says, hey, would you like to sit down by me? Would you like to worship God with me? Would you like to come over to my house? Would you like to have dinner with me? Would you like to have Bible study with me? Would you like to give God some glory with me? Hear me. Yes, the Bible has some things to say about how we live and how we dress and how we worship and how we act. But we don't need to puff ourselves up in pride over the work that God has done in us. We didn't do that. He did that. We didn't change ourselves. He changed us. We give him the glory. And we recognize his potential. Hey, if God can do that for her, he can do that for her. If God can do that for him, he can do that for him. Thank you, elders. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:31, him, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I want to ask you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul, he talks about taking on the whole armor of God. And he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. God help us to realize that our righteousness is not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. Just like you give a soldier something he's going to need in the battle, and he puts that armor plating on. The righteousness that we have is a gift to us that we put it on. Somebody said, when do you put on righteousness? I don't want to shock you, but the doctrine of the scripture is that when you repent and you are water baptized in Jesus' name, that from that moment forward, you are wearing the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, he is our righteousness. the apostle wrote, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In Daniel chapter 4, a heathen ruler by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, he took all the glory unto himself for what was accomplished in his kingdom. And the Lord instantly smote him and took away his sanity. Look with me at his attitude. Daniel chapter 4. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. The judgment of God came because he did not give God the glory. John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. The scripture says not only for us that whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. But the scripture also tells us to do all for the glory of God. The last scripture I have for you tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, preached his whole career without ever seeing the national revival that he prayed for. In Jeremiah chapter 9, we find this utterance from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, the Lord will manifest his glory and fill you with his spirit right now in this service. If you need the gift of repentance, if you'll lift up your hands to the Lord, he'll give you the gift of repentance right now. Hallelujah. Folks, this house is filled with the glory of the Lord. His presence is moving in this house right now. Whether you receive it where you're standing or whether you receive it in this altar, I bless you in the name of Jesus to receive blessings, salvation, honor, power, and glory from the Lord God Almighty. And in the name of Jesus, I want to ask you to get somebody and come and invite them. Let's go stand in this altar tonight and let's give God the glory for what he is doing in our life, in our family, in our marriage, in our church, in our children, in our community, in our nation, in our world. The hand of God is at work. And the Bible says the Lord will work, and who will let him? Oh, let's open our hearts to the working of the Spirit of God right now.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.